Well, amen. It is again good to be here, and I just ask you, Lord, to bless my understanding that I might be able to deliver this word with power against the kingdom of darkness and for the build-up for the kingdom of yours. And we ask you, Lord, to give ears to those who will hear this today, that they might be able to turn again to be prepared to deal with the issues of life. Now I ask you to bless us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to spend a little time talking from the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and primarily from verse 10 down pretty much to the end of the chapter. And it's a very familiar with scripture that we've heard over and over and over again about putting on the whole armor of life. But as I was beginning to look at that, I see something else in that. And that what Paul is being taught by the Holy Spirit to let the people know that there is something about to begin. And so I'd like to use for a thought today the church at a crossroad with destiny. Now, I recognize that, well, at least I haven't heard anybody deal with it from that perspective before, but I believe that's what the Lord is telling me to let people know, that that's what that is. Now, watch what happens here. This is Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and earlier chapters talks about, number one, the first part of that chapter talks about really destiny from the standpoint of, let me read it, and you can deal with it yourself. Particularly in chapter 1 and verse 5. Well, it says, here's what he says. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, Paul is being, was called, as you may know, many of you. If you don't know, here it goes. When the Lord called him, he was on his way to do destruction to the church of God. And while he was on his way to do destruction, the Lord called him and kind of slapped him around a little bit. In fact, when he fell to the ground and heard the voice, and when he got up, he couldn't see a thing. And so when he couldn't see, he yelled out. And this is crazy. He yelled out and said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Now he's not supposedly knowing anything about God. The only thing he did is all of his life was to help the king, to take care of making sure that the laws and the government completely followed. But now he gets slapped to the ground, get up from the ground, blinded from real life, and the first thing comes out of his mouth, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Now, the Lord Jesus told him, "I want you to go on where you started, but your mission has changed. You're going to go to the same place, you're going to see the same people, but your mission has changed. You were going there to kill him. Now you're going to go there to listen to him, and he's going to give you life. He's going to get you to see again." So now, here he goes. So now I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that, but I just want you to see that Paul was really called by the Lord Jesus. Now, but he was called with a special purpose, and that was to actually go and speak to the Grecians. And the Lord made it clear that that's what he wanted him to do, And when he talked to Ananias, he says, I want you to lay hands on him and get him to sing again and let him. And Ananias said, Lord, no, he's tricky. He's up to something. And so the Lord says, no, he's a praying man now, and I've called him for a specific purpose. Now that you got that, let's go where we were looking in the first place. Now, throughout the rest of these chapters, the early part of the book of Ephesians, he talks about predestination. He talks about He talks about how the family ought to live. He just goes on and on about giving instruction to all of the family. Now you'll notice here, he's using some different terminology. And in chapter 6, he says to the children, verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and the father, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words, if you do what the Lord tells you, you got some good stuff coming at you. But watch this now. Let's move on over and take a look at what he's saying to the church. Now, I want you to keep in mind, we're going to talk about the church, but I want to make sure you understand what that is. He said, finally, in verse 10, finally, my brother, now, all that he's talked about in chapter 1 through 5, and up to here, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we, watch this, for we wrestle not against other men and other women and just bad folks. But we wrestle with a thing you can't even see. And I want you to know it's against the powers and the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness rather than light. And he goes on to tell about that. Now, you got to ask yourself then, if we're saying that the church is to stand up in this part of destiny, that we've reached a point in our lives, and by the way, when we use the term in this 10th verse here, finally, my brethren, now that's just simply saying here, stop right now, look at where you are, because the further we go into life, we're making a change, and we're going to proceed all the way to the end with this new destiny, or with this new thing that we got to do for the kingdom of God. Now, so who is it? Who is it that the church is? Well, we recognize right away that the church is you and I. And I won't go there, but you can read it when you get a chance. I believe that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, particular verse 12. And in verse 12, he talks about that there are many members, but one body. Many, many members, but one body. Now, what he's talking about is the church. You and I coming together with our various little gifts and idiosyncrasies and everything else, but you and I are the church, and you and I is what God has to depend on to defend the kingdom of God at the crossroad with destiny. Because we have reached a point in our lives, and brothers and sisters, I don't know where you stand politically, and that's going to be on you. I'm not going to try and deal with that. I'm just going to let you know where I am. I think we've reached a point here in our presidency, and again, please forgive me if I'm talking about your president. But I'm talking about my president too, except that I don't necessarily agree with how he's doing things. I don't necessarily agree with the tweeting and all of that. Day after day, in everything that comes up, he tweets. And then when the time comes to answer the tweets, he does not answer those tweets like he put them out, as far as I'm concerned. Again, we're at a crossroad. We've come to a point in life to where nobody wants to wait one moment. Everything fast food. When I grew up, we never had, well, of course, that's a long time ago, 84 years ago. But now everything is fast. Even people come to church. If you up there, if I'm up there speaking too long, I look out through the crowd and I can see dozens and dozens of people looking at their watches saying, when you gonna get through? They don't say that, but that's what it sure seems like, because everything is in a hurry now. Now, we've got to hold the fort. And you need to understand that the body of Christ is not a defensive team. We are an aggressive team that's moving forward. We don't move backwards. We don't defend anything. We're straight ahead with the Word of God. So I want you all to recognize the fact that we've come to a crossroad in life, that we've got to depend on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Lord Jesus told his disciples, said, I want you guys to go down there and wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts chapter 1, I believe. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, somewhere in there. And he says, I want you to wait until you are endowed with the Holy Spirit, because you're going to need him at this particular junction in your life. Well, we recognize that this was a couple of thousand years ago. No question about that. But you and I, it's become more acute now that we've got to be ready. Now we have people not only ready to fight you on any hand. People just walk up and don't like and shoot your head off and then turn around and kill themselves without even thinking about it. That's the kind of life that we're living in today. So what is it that we need to do? We've got to, first of all, recognize the fact that the Lord Jesus has a purpose on our lives, and where he is, I may be a preacher, you may be a deacon, someone else may be an usher, somebody else may be a musician, or whatever the case may be. When we all come together as one, then we all make up that one body. And that one body is to stand up against anything that Satan comes up with. But we're not moving backwards. We're an offensive team, moving straight ahead. And anything that don't want to get hurt, better move out of the road or let us by, or we'll trample them in the ground, because the bottom line is we have the power. Now, Paul is continuing to speak and saying that I want you all to recognize that you stand against the spiritual weaknesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, earlier in the scripture here, he said that you may be able to stand. Now watch this. Put on the whole armor. This is verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now watch this one. Verse 12. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, in verse 13, I'm sorry. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. In other words, when it's all, no matter what it looks like, which way we're to go, you got to stand, because God has called upon us. And you and I makes up what the church is all about. It's not the beautiful buildings that we have. And God knows the Lord has blessed Livingstone with one beautiful building. There's no doubt about it. We have all of the beauties and all of the this and the bells and the whistles and what have you. But none of that makes any difference. What really makes a difference is that when we have men and women who are not afraid to come to Bible school, a Bible class on Wednesday night and or other times when we're having Bible class and learn the word. And we have people who are not afraid to bow on their knees and pray and ask for strength. This is what the church needs to be able to understand, and that is that if we're going to stand against Satan without backing up or retreating, we're going to have the whole armor of God, the breastplate, the feet shod, the helmet of salvation. Oh, it's all there. So what I'm saying to you, that the church, we have come to a crossroad where we can no longer pussyfoot around. We got to stand firm no matter what goes on and make no matter what people say about you. And by the way, everybody don't got good words about you. Everybody don't have good words about me. But I want you to know that I will not back up 1 ounce no matter who says what against me. I'm going to stand for that which I know that God has called me to stand for. And I pray that you would join me if you haven't already. I hope you will stand firm and recognize the fact that God has a calling on your life, and that is to call you and I to work as a team. We cannot fight against each other. We cannot pass bad words about each other. We've got to stand firm no matter what, that we may be able to draw those from darkness unto light. I think of what Dr. Martin Luther King made a statement on one occasion. He says, if we want to change things, hate cannot cast out hate. Only love can do that. And then he made another statement. He said, if you want to bring people out of darkness, he says, darkness cannot cast out darkness. Only light can do that. And the Lord has told us very clearly in Matthew chapter 5 that we are the light of the world. A city that sits on a hill cannot be hid. And then he tells us that we are the salt of the earth. It is our job to stand firm and not allow Satan to take over God's kingdom. Well, he's already made it clear that he would not allow the gates of hell to prevail against us. Oh, that doesn't mean that you're not going to get hit. That doesn't mean you're not going to get hurt. That don't mean any of that. But what it does mean is when it's all said and done, we win. I hope you can say that with me wherever you are today, whether you're driving your car, in your house, or wherever you are. I hope you can say with me as I say today, we are winning. And if you don't know that you're winning, look in the back of the book. The book has the answer for you. So I want to see if we can't close out this message by letting you know that the power of God is with us. And I enjoyed the movie Star Wars. And the old, I forget the big-eared guy, well, I remind myself of him, but he called Skywalker together and he said, trust the Force. Trust the Force. So the Lord Jesus told us this. Trust me. I'll walk with you. I'll keep you. I'll surround you. I will not allow the gates of hell to stand against you. But the church is at a crossroad. We can no longer just play church and have a choir to sing well and this, that, and the other. That is not what we're up to. We're up to right now reaching out to get those people out of the darkness and bring them into the light. And the book says that we are that light that the Lord is calling for in these last and ugly, ugly, ugly days when men just don't care what they do. I want to pray with you now. Somebody may not have a real happiness going on in your household. Husband may be out of place. Wife may be out of place. Children may be out of place. But I want you to know that God's got you covered. So, Father, I come to you now asking you to etch this spirit of this word into the hearts of those who are listening today and let them know that you are good for your promise. Your promises are good. They always have been good. And you got the authority to change the course and direction of the system. That even though the church is at a crossroad in this system that we're in, but you got us, and I thank you so much for it. Bless every house, bless every wife, bless every husband, bless every child, bless every person who's listening today, and let them know that yes, we're at the crossroad, Yes, we're at a place of destiny, but we are winners, and we thank God for it. Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'd like to invite you to come visit with us. We're at 37721 North 100th Street East in Little Rock. Our pastor is Pastor Rodney Rivers, great preacher, and we hope that you will come and visit with us at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. And if he's not there, he has a good preacher in place, and we're looking forward to seeing you one of these days to come and visit with us. But only if you don't have another church. And if you don't have a church and you haven't been saved, there are some people there who can make sure that you know who Jesus is. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Amen.